Hello and welcome to episode 291 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moyd. I'm joined by the other two M's and a special guest. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And our special guest this week is our very own Jalal Haddad, which I don't know if we should call you special guest anymore because you're almost an honorary member of the Water Cooler. So
there you go. Hi, everyone.
You have to change your name to Jalal Haddad now.
Absolutely not. I did actually in high school for a while. My Facebook last name was Mick Haddad. Because I had like four of my closest friends all had Mick at the beginning of their names, and they started a Mick club, and I wanted to join. So there's a short period of time where I could have been in the M's.
That's amazing.
So that is very funny.
Okay, so Jalal is joining us to talk about the Emmys, which will be finally announced after a couple of weeks of delay thanks to COVID-19. On Tuesday, and as we are recording on Sunday night, we've just published our predictions on the drama, comedy, and limited series race out on awardsdaily.com/ADTV. So we're not going to regurgitate those for you here on this podcast. You can go to the website and look those up and see where the entire team of ADTV writers thinks things are going to land on Tuesday. But what we thought we'd do here very quickly is just talk about what are some trends that we may see? What are some potential surprises? And go around the cooler and give our biggest Emmy wish, or what is the thing that would make us the happiest on nomination day? So you guys ready to jump in?
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. So Jalal, you always have your finger on the pulse of things. Not that all of us do, but all of us don't, but you definitely have written all year about potential trends on your Emmy tracker. What are some of the things that we should look for on Tuesday? Why don't you kick us off there?
Well, I think this conversation should probably start with the obvious, that we don't know what's going to happen because this is such an unusual year. Everyone thinks the Emmys will be different because voters are sitting around watching more television than ever before, which is true, but we don't know how much more they're watching. So that'll be interesting. And if them watching more is really going to make a difference, they're still going to like the things that they like. So it'll be interesting what sort of influence that has. And it's not an interesting answer, but I genuinely do not know. And I think, and I hate that. Like, I'm ready for the season to be over. I hate it.
Do you think if something really random does pop up, like maybe something that not a lot of people are predicting, do you think that would probably mean that people are watching a lot more stuff and that maybe they're like throwing their vote for something that they may have like a lot of passion for?
Yeah, and I think there's multiple factors. I think yeah to that. I think yes to they're watching more stuff, they're liking different things. We don't have the influence of campaigning and events. But I also wonder if they're actually even paying attention at all. I get the sense, it was hard for me to focus on this stuff, and I get the sense that no one cares. And I wonder if they're going to have less voter turnout this year.
Oh.
Silicon Valley everywhere.
Oh my God.
I talked to one of our infamous anonymous Emmy voters. And this is a person that, like, I think she's the Academy people don't realize has changed a lot in the past 5 years. They've gotten like 7,000 new members over the past 5 years. They're significantly younger. They're significantly more diverse. There's more women. I keep seeing people refer to the Emmys as the taste of old white men, and that's just not true anymore. And because also anyone can join, it's not an exclusive club. This Emmy voter is part of the kind of old guard. They vote in blocks, they go to events. This person has been a member for 20 years, and even they said that there's not really a consensus. The one show that she said that they all watch and liked is Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and I don't even think that's going to get in. So I just think it's hard to understand what people are watching and liking.
Do you think there's any shot at that show getting any kind of attention?
I could see it popping up strangely somewhere, but I don't know where. Shadon is convinced that Peter Gallagher is going to get in, and I don't. Sorry, Shadon, but no. And because he's also on the ballot for Grace and Frankie, and if he was going to get in, we would have seen him pop up in like the guest race at some point throughout his career or something. I just don't see it. I heard that Lauren Graham is genuinely bad on that show.
Oh, I love her.
So, like, I don't see her all of a sudden getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing my anonymous Emmy ballot voter said is that she, they rave about Jane Levy. Or is it Levy or Levy?
I think it's Levy.
And so maybe, I'm just going to be open. I don't watch the show, and it's not my cup of tea. So I don't know, like maybe she's really good and maybe she's a name that we're underestimating. But I just don't, with the amount of people in that guest or that lead actress race, I don't see her getting in. And I guess there's that wide open ace slot for Siri. So like, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it all of a sudden ends up in the series race and nowhere else. But yeah, I just don't think people are genuinely watching it. I don't think people are genuinely watching NBC. This Is Us is dying out. Superstore has never gotten recognition, and Superstore is the best comedy on television. Yeah. The only nomination NBC could get is maybe like a surprise Amy Poehler nomination for lead actress. But other than that, no.
Would she get a lead actress for the Parks and Rec special?
They submitted her for the Parks and Rec special and limited series. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I could see vote. I don't think she's a front runner, and I'm not predicting her, but I could see all of a sudden them not knowing what to do and checking her name off for fun. I would do it.
I would think that was more of a possibility if that category wasn't so stacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to, just trying to, I mean, two actresses from Unbelievable, two actresses from Little Fires Everywhere, Watchmen, Miss America, Unorthodox, Normal
British
People,
Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
It's a British Dakota Johnson. Which, are we going to talk about Normal People?
Sure.
We can.
Do we think that buzz is real, or do we think the internet is bored?
I think it's an internet thing.
I think it is too.
Yeah. I don't understand why that boring white boy that is pastier than anyone I've ever seen in my life, who doesn't do much and they are just thirsting and they're bored and they're locked in their homes, why they're insisting he's a front runner. I'm tired of it.
I literally, this is what I think it is, and I literally think, I haven't finished it yet, I have 3 episodes left. It is a lot heavier than I anticipated it being. I thought it was going to be like a romance, a romance drama, whatever. It dives a lot more into like mental health and depression than I expected it to. I'm not saying that that's bad. I just wasn't. It took me by surprise. I think people. I think a lot of it is like gay guys online that are that really want to push for a performance from a heterosexual man who shows emotion, like dramatic, like emotional, like non. Like not macho man sort of emotion, sort of
we've
like
we've got to step our pussies up. It's I know.
No, but it's sort of like this isn't like a good comparison, but like something like a manly man showing emotion, like being in touch with his feelings. That's what I meant. That's what I think people are responding to. I think he's good in it. I think that. It's just an internet Twitter thing. But watch me be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if he gets in, and he is in the, like, 8 names that could get in. If he gets in, it's just because of a weak category. It's just, I want this obsession to end. I'm tired of it.
Oh my God, I can't believe you and I have never talked about this. I did not know you felt that way.
Yeah, there's one person in specific that won't stop tweeting about how attractive he is, and I want their eyes checked out. Like, if I get his, like, pasty shirtless body on his, like, Corona runs when he's not been wearing a goddamn mask shows up on my timeline one more time, it's terrorism.
Jesus. It's just, I will say that, like, I don't even think he's that handsome. He smokes way too much on the show for my personal taste. He just has nice thighs. That's it.
Logan Lerman is right there.
Yeah.
I think Logan Lerman is very attractive.
Oh, he is.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. I'm not, I guess I had started Normal People, but I was just like, this looks like it's going to be a process, and I shut it off.
it's a 13-episode process or 12.
Well, that's the barrier that stopped me from watching is finding out how long it was.
But then there's another show that's like, I feel like there's another show that's longer that I got to that I liked, and I can't remember what it was.
I May Destroy You. That's also surprisingly really long, although it deserves to be long because it's actually good.
Which one?
I May Destroy You.
Oh, yes, that's it.
Yeah,
because it has like 12 episodes, and I'm like, give me ball. Yeah,
I think there was actually a moment where I was talking to Jalal about Normal People. I was like, watching Normal People is going to be so easy. It's only 6 episodes; they're all half hours long. And then like the next text that Jalal sent, he's like, Joey, it's 12 episodes long. It's literally twice as long as you think it is.
Oh my god.
Ow.
I'm like, ow.
Well, he could get in. I mean, there's four probable contenders there in that fifth slot, which I think everybody's throwing to Jeremy Irons, which I'm not sold on because I just can't buy that people are gonna just love him and that, you know, the weirdness of that character and that aspect of Watchmen. I think he's weak.
I think
I would say there's only two probable. Sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to get you.
Oh no, it's okay. I was listening to Eric Anderson's Award Watch podcast, and he brought up an interesting thing. He said the last 3 years, the Emmys gave the Emmy to a young man, like a young person in a limited series. So there was like Riz Ahmed, Darren Criss, and who won last?
Jerrell Jerome.
But the thing is, the only thing that I will say for that is the two young people that could fit that bill would be Jeremy Pope and Paul Mescal. But Riz Ahmed and the other two gentlemen who won also had their series in contention, and I don't think Normal People is in contention. Yeah. I would say Jeremy Pope has a better chance of getting a nomination because I feel like Hollywood has a decent chance of actually getting in because of Hollywood patting themselves on the back and the size of it, and it's Ryan Murphy. So
I still think Hollywood is one that might not make the splash that we think it will. I don't know, because there have been such mixed things about it, like mixed reactions, even from like just people I've seen talk about it. So I don't know. That's one that I've never really been able to like put a stamp on for the Emmys, because I just don't know how they'll react to it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I have it in my predictions, and I think it's something that's going to burn quickly. I think it's going to explode with nominations just because they don't know what else to vote for, and then it will not win anything. I'm trying to think of a good comparison. Maybe like Westworld season 2.
Westworld season 3 is going to be shut out. Maybe, except for a Tandy Newton too. Nomination.
Yeah, I have Tandy and Jeffrey, and that's it. And it's just like, I think because Westworld season 2 did well at the Emmys because it premiered right before voting, and it got like 21 nominations. Only one Tandy Newton, and then, but as 6 months went by, it was completely shut out of the guilds. Like PGA, WGA, DGA, and SAG all dropped it, which makes me think that as people caught up, they decided that they don't like it anymore, which is good. And moved on.
It should have been one season.
And I'm telling you right now, I bet it gets in for main title design because it's on the ballot, and actually,
I remember when it got in for the second year, and I was like, there's nothing is different. It's pretty much like four shots are different. This one, it's a
they
lot
more. They
have
a cal exploding this time.
I know. I'm staying corrected. But like this main title sequence is different than all the others, so I'm locking that prediction in right there.
Main title design. I'm looking at the contenders for main title design right now, and there's a lot of mid-season shows in there.
I'm excited. That's like my favorite below the line. So
you do love that.
I love it.
I mean, watch Mrs. America not even get in, so the category will be pointless.
Oh, their main title is brilliant. So brilliant. And the use of that song, fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you think could surprise? And anywhere.
Jesus Christ. Surprise.
Do you think a surprise could be like Mrs. America doesn't show up as much as we all think it might?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that Mrs. America doesn't have a supporting actress nomination?
Like, the world would explode.
Yeah.
I think it's not getting writing or directing nominations. Because those fucking idiots. FX is... I don't know what is wrong with them.
Jalal is in bear form tonight. I love it.
Yeah, he is.
They're
not...
like on drugs. They submitted... So limited series writing is only going to have 5 nominees this year because of the new stupid rules. And FX or Hulu, I don't know who's in charge of this campaign, submitted 5 episodes for writing. When everyone else submitted 1 episode. And some of these episodes didn't need to be submitted. They submitted Betty, Houston, Jill, Shirley, and the Phyllis and Fred and Brenda and Mark episode. God. Like, what? I don't understand. I just... it's just a... And I don't know how you guys feel about the show. As I finished it, it left a weird taste in my mouth.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, like, it was just, not like it was bad, because I really enjoyed it, but I don't think it was, that reminds me, I want to check on how many, was each episode written by someone else?
No, I think Davi Waller.
Did she write all of
them? I think she wrote all of them.
Because it just didn't feel cohesive in the end. Like, I wish there was a way to not tie everyone together, but it just felt...
Actually, Davi Waller only she did the first
she wrote
2. And then
she wrote Houston.
Yeah, she wrote Houston, okay. And then she
co-wrote the finale.
Right.
Okay. I know her name showed up a lot. That's why I was thinking that. But she was also the showrunner, so...
I think you should have just submitted...
Yeah, I could see what you're saying, because I do think it's probably one of the most ambitious projects of the, like, limited... Well, maybe Hollywood's. There are a lot of ambitious projects, but this was ambitious in a way of trying to fit everybody in, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she wanted to make sure that she didn't shortchange, like, women of color stories and gay story. You know, she wanted to get everything in there, and I think in some ways that's probably why maybe you feel like, cause it's like, okay, well, this episode deals with this, I liked that, but that it is a lot to put in. And then you're kind of like, okay, well, what was this really about? But I think that's also the point, was that it was like, yeah. I even like the way it deals with ageism with Tracy Ullman's character, which I think is something that doesn't really get a lot of play on television. And I thought
good.
That was, she's so, yeah, they're all so good. I love that episode. I think she outshines Kate Blanchett, which I think, you know, isn't that kind of impossible, but I think she does. But
it doesn't hit I'm saying this because I'm working through it in my head, but I did enjoy it and I did like it. I think it is one of the best shows of the year. I wish they kind of hit connect. I think if it had more like Davi Waller going through with each episode, they would have been able to kind of zero in on some of the things that I think resonated the most, like how Phyllis Schlafly truly is the beginning of Trump.
Yeah.
And like the Elizabeth Banks character, I don't think they gave her enough to do, because I found that so fascinating to have this feminist Republican in that movement, and the fact that she would not exist today is so interesting, and they could have done more with that. So
no, that's interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
And Uzo Aduba is really good. And I do think Uzo Aduba is getting in.
I do too, even though I think she was somebody who was shortchanged, because I felt like we started to get into her story and then she kind of like disappears. But I felt that most about her, I would say. But I think she's getting in because she's Uzo Aduba.
I think the majority of the women that are getting in for Mrs. America are getting in because they always get in.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
But they're all women that always get in.
Yeah.
Like Margo Martindale, Sarah Paulson, Tracy Ullman, I think, has 25 nominations out her career.
See, I thought maybe Tracy Ullman won't get in because of her character being, like, controversial, I guess.
Is she controversial? I mean, she is controversial, but, like, do people nowadays know enough about her to say that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe some of the older voters, but then, as you said, that is younger. But I also think it's just, like, even the younger voters might just be like, oh, she was just a pain in the ass the whole time, you know, and might not get that she's, like, I don't know, a complicated character, which I thought was really came across well. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I could be wrong.
Watch Melanie Lynskey be the only one nominated.
Oh, my God.
She's not on the ballot, isn't she?
Is she not?
I don't think she is, because she wasn't
disrespectful.
I actually, because when we did our podcast last week, if I had a ballot, I try to go with what is on the actual ballot, and then I saw that she wasn't on the for your consideration site. Hold on, I'm opening up the PDF right now to see if she's actually not on it. Because if she is on it, I'm gonna cry that I didn't have her on it on my list. But yeah, I don't think they put her on there,
which is rude. Sometimes you submit yourself. So are you saying you didn't vote for Julie Bowen, Joey?
No, I did not vote for her. Can you imagine that conversation that she had with her agent? She's like, I'm just not going to submit myself.
Well, what's weird about that?
Did she not submit herself?
No. Julie Bowen didn't submit herself.
But they don't ever submit themselves. The ABC submits them.
Oh.
And ABC announced their submissions. And I'm trying to think of how much I can say. They announced their submissions and they released it and it was published. And then after that, something happened and they chose not to submit her. So it was a last minute decision and it was really weird. I hope there was Modern Family drama.
Do you think there's any chance that holds that eighth slot?
Modern Family? No.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I think I would really hope not, because there's really a lot of good stuff that people actually, well, I don't know, the people that actually really like the great, like Rami, like you can make a good list out of what we actually have that would not be embarrassing. But then again, this is the Emmy.
And they're not as sentimental as we think.
I was going to say, I think they're not as sentimental as we think they are. And I think they're like, we've moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the membership has changed so much. Like, it's in the past 5 years that so many thousands of new people joined. And none of those people were around when Modern Family was winning things. So I just think, like, why would they be sentimental?
Yeah, that's true.
But who knows? I don't think it's going to be What We Do in the Shadows. I don't think it's going to be Silicon Valley. I don't think it's going to be the Kaminsky Method.
See, everyone's on better things, and I don't Silicon. Think it's that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Silicon Valley, because I think that, I mean, I hate to say it, but I do think people are just like, oh, yeah, I remember that show.
But do they really?
What has me not predicting Silicon Valley is that the final season aired in the fall, and it didn't get any Guild nominations.
And I forgot that it aired in the fall.
Yeah. So I just wonder if they care anymore. Like, sometimes the show will go on hiatus for a year, and when it comes back, it'll lose any sense of urgency. And I'm wondering if that's going to happen.
Do you think also that, like, they were probably, like, Kumail is like, oh, yeah, I'm on these other shows. Like, I'm on the Twilight Zone on CBS, and I'm, like, an Oscar nominee. Like, peace out. And then do you think that Thomas Middleditch was like, I'm going to go have some weird sex with my wife with other people or something. What does he do?
What? That's what he does, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He
like, an open marriage.
Yeah, well, that's fine. It's like, no, really no judgment, but it was the more judgment of him, the way he talked about it was really bizarre.
He's a bizarre person.
Yeah.
I think it could be the Great.
I think so too.
I could see the Great picking up easily, like writing and directing nominations.
Well, they could probably see, like, Tony McNamara wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Nicholas Hoult is in. If you put in all the craft nominations, like the costumes, the art direction, the hair, the makeup, I feel like it has enough momentum that people are going to put it in there.
Yeah. It could easily be the second most nominated comedy of the year.
Oh, my God.
Take that, Megan's parents.
I know. They hated it. Oh, my dad was fact-checking it the whole time, and I'm like, you don't get it. I'm like, this isn't one of those shows that you fact-check.
What did they think of The Favorite? Did they do the same thing with that?
They didn't see The Favorite, so I told them, don't see The Favorite.
I'm going to send it to them in the mail.
My dad will be like, okay, let's... Why are they voguing?
Yeah. No, I think you guys are right, though. I think Nicholas Hoult does get in. He was I was like, do I predict him or do I not? And at the end, I did not, but he deserves to.
He's very great. So let's go around and give our Emmy wish for this year. What's the one thing that would make you the happiest on Emmy nomination day? July, we'll start with you.
I love this.
You could just have this on like when people have the Christmas log. You could just have Jalal going on your TV.
I would love that. That could be a ringtone.
I don't know. This year is going to have an asterisk with it no matter what because of everything going on. And then the categories are so weird with how many nominees will be in each category. I think that's just such bullshit. And I just don't... I guess the stuff I really want to get in is Unbelievable. I really want Unbelievable to get in.
Yeah.
I really want Rami Yusuf in. I want Schitt's Creek to have a good year, although I'm livid that the year it's finally going to win stuff is the year we won't be having a ceremony.
Yeah,
that's kind of the stuff I really like this year is not really any contenders, so I'm just kind of going along for the ride.
Megan, what about you?
You know, I think the one nomination that I think would make me really happy. And there's the second one. The first one is, and probably this is in order because of it's being at last season, but if Emily Hampshire gets nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actress, because I think Annie Murphy's in, I'm pretty sure, but Emily's the one that we're not sure about. And pretty much either one, but like if Emily would get in, that would be amazing because I think I just really love that performance. And then the second one, if it gets in, would be really exciting in that same category is Yvonne Orji because I just love Insecure so much. And I think she's the best thing about it. I think Issa Rae's great, but I guess I'm Team Molly, which is probably controversial, but
are you the only Team Molly on Earth?
I guess I'm the only Team Molly. I guess I understand her in a way, and I don't know. Like I
do
I
you, Megan? Are you a screw up relationship with the hottest man on Earth?
No, I just feel for her. I guess she's so interesting to me. I just love that character. She's the, I love the characters that are a little harder to love sometimes, if that makes any sense. But she's great, and I would love to see that.
Joey, what about you?
That's why Megan's been friends with me for so long. I have two. I really want Miser and Moore to get nominated for best, or I'm sorry, Outstanding Music and Lyrics for One Less Angel from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, I love that song.
That, I feel like they are in, just because that song keeps popping up throughout the season, and it's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I had the, you know, I was fortunate enough to interview them, but after that, I really, you know, they're musical theater composers. They just seem like really, really nice guys. I really hope they get nominated. And the other one that I'm going to sound like a broken record for, but Shira Haas from Unorthodox. I just think that is such a beautiful, emotional performance. It's just, her face is just so expressive, and she I think that show is really underrated. I think it's a fucking shame that the category numbers are 5 for lead actress on a limited series, because if there were 6 slots, I feel like she's like 7th or 8th to get in there. And I just think she's so, so good, and I want her to win. I really, really do. Sorry, Kate.
Ironically, my two, I do have two, and they're also in the same categories you just gave. I would love to see Misbehavin from The Righteous Gemstones get in. I think it will, but I'm hoping that it does. It's hilarious. It's a fun moment. It's probably the best moment of the entire Righteous Gemstones first season. The other thing is, I would love to see, well, I'd love broad passion for Plot Against America. I think HBO released it too early. I think it should have come out much later. But I'd love to see Zoe Kazan get in for Best Actress, because she is phenomenal in that series.
Some of those scenes she has with Winona Ryder at the end, those are
the
so
slap.
Oh, the God, when she slaps her kid, I'm like, yeah! I like stood up and started cheering. It was great.
All right. So just as a reminder, Emmy nominations are coming out this Tuesday, and we will regroup here at the water cooler and hash out the nominations after they are announced, probably posting Tuesday night. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we will see you on Tuesday night. And we are the 3Ms, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, plus Jalal, honorary member of the Water Cooler podcast. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.